when you see that they're now selling their goods and they're giving the money to one another, you see a community that recognizes that we need one another in order to fulfill these things. Because of the fact of the persecution, of the fact that people were abandoning, there was abandonment, you're no longer my child, because of the fact you've changed religions, all of those different things meant the community needed each other so much more. Maybe not much more. Let me rephrase that. Not so much more, in a different way, but it was so visible then. I think the problem is we've got it easy. And is it? Come on, let's just be honest. Whenever it's a little easier for the next generation, they miss. There's something missed because you got it easy. I think we're in that easy place. We've gotten it easy. Others had to sacrifice. Others had to fight and scrape and for every little thing that we have. Let's face it. Many that have built everything that physically, there's a generation that's passing away right before our eyes. What comes next? This is the cycles of life. It's a sad reality, but it's a reality. What comes next? What comes next? It used to be that church attendance was prized. If we're not speaking it now, what comes next? If we're not valuing it now in our Bible classes, what comes next? Are y'all seeing what I'm seeing? And so we've got to value what we're doing when we're here and the great purpose of why we're coming together. And I want to give you five different ways, you know, what reasons why we should prioritize worship, corporate worship. First of all, it encourages unity and encouragement. We're here once again. Looking at what ways in which we can encourage one another. You've been seeing the slides. How can we send food to people that are in need? How can we encourage people? What are ways that the community can gather together to be able to bless and serve one another? That's what you saw in the book of Acts when it says that, you know, now they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then it continues on. They sold so that why did they sell their own goods and their own lands so that the community could be blessed? Because they were looking at the needs of those that didn't have. Those that had gave in order to make sure that those that did not have. And that principle is a principle that's still so important for us today. And it's not always financial means. I mean, sometimes that's the easiest thing to do. But you've got some time. Time's a pretty valuable thing. You've got an ear to be able to hear and be able to speak to someone. It's a very, very valuable, valuable thing. And we're coming together so that we can strengthen and comfort and encourage one another and remind people that you're not alone in this world. Look, I hurt like you hurt. We go through problems. I think crazy thoughts and say crazy things and do crazy things. And, you know, and so we're in this together. But sometimes I'm going to pretend like I got it all together and because he can't understand me. She can't understand me. Put it out there. I think I read somewhere all have sinned. Come and fall short from glory of God. All, you know, all of us are marked. And so we can be able to share with each other and then point others in God, back to God's way. Secondly, worship provides spiritual nourishment. Just like your bodies. You want to grow, you go to the gym, you eat right, you eat the right things. A part of our spiritual nourishment is right here in this. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. Here's a time that the believers came together to get spiritual nourishment. So many times I've walked in and preached a message and someone said, "That's just what I needed. for a current situation that I'm going through. It seems like you were preaching directly to me. Y'all ever thought that? Yeah. I'm not, believe me, I'm not peeking in your doors. What are they doing? Hold on. All right, let me put that in the sermon. Let me put that in. I think Mark gave me a cup, a mug. It's on my desk now. It says, Pastor, warning. Anything you say can be thrown into a sermon. You know, so just be careful. All right. But we're not doing what? God knows what you need. And sometimes we have no idea what we need. And there's been so many times, I guarantee you have said, you walked through this door and you barely just dragged yourself in that door and was like, man, that's exactly the word I needed. Maybe it wasn't even from the pulpit. Maybe it was just a brother or sister that came to you and had a little sidebar conversation about a situation. Or you made a plan to go do something the next. I mean, there was something, an interaction that happened simply because you came. We get, why? Because we get spiritual nourishment just by coming. And then here's an important one. See, we're told Matthew 5:16, we're called to let our light so shine before the world that they might see our good works and do what? Glorify our Father who is in heaven. There's a witness to what we're doing right now at this moment. A witness to the world that says, this is important to me. This time is a sacred time. This is a time where I can definitely see. You remember Jesus making these statements about going the extra mile. You remember that? They bid you one, you give them two, right? They hit you, give them the other, right? They take your shirt, give them your coat. Or they take your coat, give them the shirt also, right? What was he trying to say? There's a statement being made when you do those things that are unnatural, that most people wouldn't do. There's a statement being made when they say, look, the obligated one is 1 mile. You're going to go two? Why would you go two? Why would you do that? You going to let them hit you like that and give them the other cheek? Why would you do that? You're going to let him take your coat and your shirt? Why would you do? There's an impact. There's a moment that the Lord wants for someone to be able to see what you're doing and say, he's doing that because he's a Christian, because he values what Jesus says, because it's not common, but because we're serving an uncommon God, I want to do what what Jesus said do. It's different. But it puts the spotlight on our Christianity. When I prioritize this, everything else works around this. I don't even like to be, I don't like to be gone a lot of Sundays. I like to be here on Sundays. You know, I like to be in the pulpit, truthfully, on Sundays. All right? And very, very rarely will you see me out of the pulpit on a Sunday, and especially a big day. It happened at Easter, and I was kicking myself in the butt. Easter was really weird this year. So, but wherever we are still, guess what? Guess what? Wherever we are, we're going to find somewhere to worship. It just so happened we were in Puerto Rico. We were worshiping with y'all right here. Amen. We've got to put value in, and here's the other thing. You probably heard this before, but you know, when it used to be in the time where you come in the household, a Christian household, and on Sundays, even family members, you got family reunion, and they staying in the house. If you're in the house, come on, you going to church. We still have some of them. I'm Sister Hatcher, when she come to town sometimes, you remember sister come in, you see all the kids and grandkids and they'll take up a couple rows. Why? She's in town. We're going to church, family. Amen. Well, We need to get that back. We need to get that the importance of what we do when we come here. We need to highlight that once again. We need to start talking about it once again. We need to start modeling it once again. We need to get our witness back to the world. This is important whenever we come together. Worship. Attending corporate worship, obviously, it cultivates spiritual growth, and this is the area that really is hitting me right now. Ephesians 4, we see the diverse leadership that we have, and all of it is for what? The equipping for the work of the ministry, equipping the work of the ministry. And I'm, you know, once again, just thinking what comes behind us. It used to be that there was great, to see a person in the pulpit would be something that even a young kid sometimes would value. I don't hear children, I don't hear parents pushing. I don't, and not just to be the preacher. We need good, godly men for deacons, good, godly men for elders. You know, this is we're creating right now. This is what we're doing. We're in the process of creating the future elders, preachers, and deacons. I mean, how we doing? How we doing? I'm not here with all the answers. Obviously, these are the things that we're all wrestling with. If you're watching online, wherever you are in the country, we're all wrestling with these same questions. But it starts, I believe, it starts right here at home. How are we talking up the church? How are we valuing the church? How are we demonstrating our value for the church and our importance of what we do when we come here? And if we're not demonstrating it, the next generation, they're not going to follow. If you didn't prioritize it, they're going to do what we do, not do what we say. They're going to do what we do. And if we don't show that value and that commitment and that service, they're not going to. Very rarely. Amen. I sound mad, don't I? I guess it's a serious topic. It's a serious stuff that's really affecting us. So many churches closing. If you get the Christian Chronicle, you get the newspaper and showing our fellowship and how it's dwindling. There's always an article about how it's dwindling. I mean, yeah, you get the feel-good stories here and there, but so many more showing our congregations are dwindling. And I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be us. And so every now and then you're going to get a message that like this to remind us that this how important it is that what we do, not only for us, but also for the generations that are coming behind us. And then lastly, worship deepens our relationship with God. When we come, we come to say thank you to God. And when we come in worship, it's so important. You know, I hear so many people say, I worship God all the time. I worship God all the time, and great. You ought to have private worship. Absolutely. But there's something different about corporate worship. There's something different about being together. See, let me give you a little difference. And it's a little secular, but it is. I've gone to some concerts, some secular concerts, and I can listen to that music in the car, and I can bump to it in the car, y'all, amen. Your preacher can bump to music, okay? He bumps to music, but in an arena of 30,000 singing the same song, it's a little different, ain't it? I love football. E-A-G-L-E-S, y'all know that already, right? But I've been to some football games, and I've gotten into that arena, and it was just a different experience because of that. You see where I'm going with this, right? I mean, yeah, I can worship God all by myself, but it's just different. When we understand that we're all coming together broken with needs, that I have an opportunity not just to receive, but also to give. That's a perspective that oftentimes we forget about worship. But I'm not just here just to receive. He told us we're here to provoke one another to love and good works. That means I'm thinking about you. And you ought to be thinking about me. We're thinking about each other, one another. How can I continue to encourage my sister? How can I encourage my brother? How, and maybe sometimes, hey, I need some encouragement. And do you see how important that is? And you see how important in this world that we are getting so separated now. It's tough right now because I'm even feeling, I used to be the social butterfly, and sometimes I don't even want to be around people. I'm serious. And then we have to be reminded of the importance of these relationships. God put it in there. God put it there. I know I've got so much more I can say and so much more I will say. It won't be all today. But I told you, you'll be hearing this theme come up every now and then because it is so, so important. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to stay on task. Lord, help us to stay focused on you. Lord, help us to be that model for our youth and for those that will come behind us. Lord, help us to prioritize you. Help us, Lord. Father in heaven, I come before you, Lord, and asking that you would help us in all of these different areas that we've already discussed. And Lord, you know, even the things we haven't talked about that where we need to shore up our things in our lives, Lord, help us to continually be that light in this world of darkness. Lord, help us to demonstrate and show our love and devotion to you and to others. And in that way, Lord, we put a spotlight on you and that others might be able to see your goodness, your grace, and your mercy extended to each of us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your love. Help us, Lord, not to be abusers of this grace, but to recognize once again how indebted we are to you because of all that you've done for us. Bless your church, Lord, wherever she stands in this world, Lord, help us as we strive to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, in this world, a world oftentimes that doesn't share your values and doesn't share your thinking and your ways. And help us, Lord, to be different and to recognize how different we are. We are a peculiar people, Lord. We are called to be that. Help us to not be weird, but to be different, to show the difference of Jesus Christ living in and through us. This is our prayer and our request in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe there is someone here and you know that you want to get on the right team. You want to make things right with the Lord. You've probably have heard this message oftentimes already to come and to give your life to Jesus. And maybe this is just your day. You recognize this is your opportunity. Jesus came, he died on the cruel cross of Calvary to be able to extend to each and every one of us this great gift of salvation. He came to be the sacrifice that only could fulfill man's sins and the requirement for sin to God. And so today, if you're ready to surrender to Jesus Christ in baptism, Jesus is ready to forgive you. He came and he died specifically for this purpose, that you might die to your sins, that you might be buried, decide to be buried in the water grave of baptism, that he might wash away your sins. You might come and walk out of that watery grave a new person in Jesus Christ, and that you would continue to live faithfully to him to the end. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Once again, on last week, I think I made this mention. When we go before God, we don't want to be dressed in our unrighteous, filthy rags. I mean, that's the best we can do in and of ourselves, to be standing before God. We will be in our own filthy rags, filthy with sin, but instead, because of what we've done in this water grave of baptism, surrendering to Jesus, obeying the gospel in baptism, what happens is when you come up, we become clothed now with his garments. We become to look like Jesus Christ. We're clothed with Christ. And when God sees and looks at us, he no longer sees Domingo Reyes. He doesn't see you. He sees Christ. He sees Christ and his righteousness instead of our unrighteousness. And so I invite you today to come to put the Lord on in baptism. If you're ready and deciding and ready to do so, we've got water ready. We've got clothes ready. Everything is ready if you're ready. And if you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand to sing the song of invitation?